The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 19th of August, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Welcome back. Welcome back. We got lots to talk about today. I've got Organization for Responsible Governance in the House. We're talking about the Map for Good. It's a project led by Org Bahamas to document and visualize the vast landscape of nonprofit organizations. That's NPOs, including faith-based organizations, that's FBOs in the Bahamas. We're going to be talking about the status of the Map for Good and some other NGO news. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking headlines. Headlines. There's lots to talk about. Before we get there, I got attacked by a starfruit tree yesterday. I mean, it's my fault. It's the second time and it's the same tree, right?
What'd you do to this tree, Erin?
I did nothing but try and pick the fruit. I did nothing but try and save the tree, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can't just leave fruit on the tree. A lot of people don't understand the why, right? They say the fruit belonged to the tree born the fruit, that's the tree's fruit. No, the tree is relying on you, right, to help maintain its health. And so I guess the most, not popular, but the most accessible example would be the coconut tree, right? When a tree produces fruit, it's given birth, right? It has a cycle from bud to fruit, mm-hmm, to harvest. The coconut tree, when you see like two bunches of coconuts on a tree, that means that nobody cleaned the tree after it gave birth. And so in producing the second bundle of coconuts, it has to do more work, mm-hmm, right? It has to do more work. As you start seeing coconuts being scarred, that's because they're too close together. They're jammed up, right? And so we are supposed to, after every harvest, after every production, we're supposed to clean the tree, giving it like its best chance of sustenance, of sustaining itself. It's not just harvesting the fruit, though. It's also trimming and pruning, mm-hmm, cutting away dead branches. For trees like tamarind and genep trees that have sort of spindly arms, like the tamarind, you can't climb all the way out to all of the tamarind bunches. As you harvest, you're also sort of pruning the tree. So I think air layering may be one term that people use, right? But you are, it's a relationship. And so, like with the coconuts in particular, because we see coconuts everywhere, when you see three and four bunches of coconuts on a tree, that tree is straining itself. It shouldn't have to do that much work. Shouldn't have to hold all the old coconuts and producing new coconuts. We're supposed to go up and clean the tree as it produces, right? And so that's all I was doing, Ms. Bethel. Mm-hmm. All I was doing was my national duty to help the tree maintain itself. Oh, that tree fought back. Mm. The tree fought back. And if you see the fruit, I could understand why this particular tree wanted to keep its fruit. The biggest star fruit I've ever seen. In fact, I have a very small head. Right now it's covered by lots of locks. A star fruit was as big as my head.
Oh, wow. I've never seen.
And so I had to fight.
Wow.
I tell the tree, no, I can't leave this fruit on you to strain you and weigh you down. I have to go and harvest you.
Yeah.
And so, just to say, this is the Coconut Boys saga, dilemma, right, where an ill-prepared policy was introduced to the public with very little guidance, guidelines, very little mechanisms for enforcement has exploded into a national a security crisis, right? Where homeowners are pleading for people to stay out their yard, right? And they say, it doesn't matter the condition of my tree, it's not yours to tend to, right? However though, perhaps we would see with a properly prepared policy that this is an industry that could like help everybody, mm-hmm. right? We can provide a space for young people, men and girls, but it would be probably primarily young boys, to experience economic agency, right? See, that's why you get a job, right? Not just so you could have money in your pocket, but so that you can begin to understand working life and what it means to organize yourself, your day, your time, right? Organize your resources. So it provides people to experience working life and experience generating an income and managing an income, right? It gives us an opportunity to landscape and to prepare for hurricanes, right? Like cleaning trees, to keep the place looking beautiful by removing unnecessary organic trash. Mm-hmm. It gives an opportunity to extend, right, like your income-generating capacity, because not only are you getting paid to clean the yard, but you can now turn that trash into cash with a mulcher or various types of techniques, right?
Yep.
If you don't have a mulcher, you start breaking the pieces down, you find a spot, you cover them with tarp, you let it break down, you keep feeding it until you've generated a healthy soil, like or substrate, like soil product that you can use or sell to farmers or homeowners, right? And then we have the manufacturing side. The coconut fronds, we used to use them to make hats and bags and placemats and cutlery holders and wallets, right? Mm-hmm. We can use we're using the coconut shell in jewelry, in accessories, in culinary accessories, the utensil holders, bowls, plates, sauces, you name it, right? So there's that potential. And then I think the greatest faux pas, the most infuriating thing about the average coconut water stand, all they're doing is cutting the coconuts and pouring the water out. Lots of those coconuts have meat in it. They have jelly coconut. They have tender meat that the vegans use to make coconut salad by replacing the conch with coconut. The hard coconut for our traditional coconut pastries to make coconut flour to press for coconut milk. Right? That's like real industry.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities in there.
There's the Ministry of Agriculture brought down 2 years ago to the Agribusiness Expo this massive coconut mulcher, because you can't use a regular mulcher to mulch coconut husks, right? Mm-hmm. But they had samples of over 45 soil products, possibly even 52 soil products made from the coconut, right? And you know what that poorly planned policy was missing? It was just missing empathy. Is missing empathy, and it was missing empathy because it couldn't see the other players in the space. It could not imagine the landscape and all the people in it. The lack of empathy impeded them from seeing who could potentially benefit from this, right? Mm-hmm. With empathy, we'd have seen the homeowner could benefit from it. The young, scraggly little, you know, ragamuffin by them who don't want to wake could benefit from it tremendously. But guess what? The environment mm-hmm. that can't pay taxes, I mean, although they do generate a lot of taxes, eh? Mm-hmm. But they don't pay taxes, right? But that same environment, if we centered that and the health of the trees, the health of the green things, of the living things other than ourselves, we may have come up with a properly prepared policy. And so this project today, Map for Good, is important to me. Not just as an advocate, right, but as a media host that tunes into and engages multiple conversations with actors who don't necessarily or cannot necessarily see all of the resources that are available to them in their landscape. Mm-hmm. And the Map for Good project intends to fix that. Yep. Ms. Bethel, Vanessa Bethel, project manager, good morning. Introduce yourself again, and let's get on to Map for Good.
Sure. Thanks, Aaron. My name is Vanessa Bethel. I'm the Senior Manager for Organizational Development and Operations, as well as the Map for Good Bahamas Project Manager. Mm-hmm. This project in many ways feels like my baby. I've been working on it for a couple years now, leading this initiative. And to your point, it has significant transformative power. Mm-hmm. Listening to the way the relationship between fruit bearing trees and us, there's a symbiosis there. There's the ways in which you're talking about the interconnectedness and opportunities across the coconut potential, right? And I see everything as an ecosystem, right? The landscape, the way things are made up. And that's true for the nonprofit sector, including faith-based organizations, which are churches and so on. And there's also accessing resources and support. So by having a free and publicly accessible directory allows the public to see, mm-hmm. where can I get the support? What's happening? Even those organizations that aren't doing direct material support, but if they're working on policy, they're working on research, they're working on culture, if they're doing these things, you can see that and engage and access the support. Also, I was talking about this yesterday. I think it offers a beacon of light and hope, because there is a lot of tough stuff going on, right? And then you start seeing all of this good that is actually out there, and then the tangible ways that can make a difference in your life. But also for us as a sector, for us to see each other. Because same way the relationship between the bay selling coconut water and the landowner, that has a potential symbiotic mm-hmm. relationship. If we're seeing each other and you're working on something similar to what I'm working on, we can figure out, well, you've got that down pack. I don't need to put my resources into that because you're handling that. I can target my resources in a better way. Mm-hmm. Or there's a potential way we can collaborate, right? And that can go in multiple different ways on multiple different topics. Or if organizations, like think about youth programs. Mm-hmm. You have a youth program that's working with young kids doing whatever they might be doing. Say lend a hand, you know, and they're doing their after school programming. After that, if there's another program that's doing something that gives another type of program, you can funnel those kids into that. You know, there's all these sorts of opportunities that can be harnessed by mm-hmm. a bit more awareness and collaboration and coordination, right?
Because mm-hmm. here's what happens in the Coconut Boys space. There is a coconut, we call it the Coconut Boys Association. We call it the Coconut Collectors Association, mm-hmm. right? It's a valid association. It's recognized formally as an association, maybe not yet a union, but an association. The association, right, issues to its members a bumper sticker, stickers for their vehicles, right, and a badge that says, I am a member of the Coconut Collectors Association. So when your vehicle pull up in my yard and I see that, right, so I got two things. It allows me to do, it says, okay, this is a verifiable coconut collector. I can collect information. I see the type of the car. If anything goes wrong, I could go back to the association and say, mm-hmm. hey, I got a visit from these guys today. They left their cutlasses and I didn't know how to get it back to them. Right? Like something that's
yeah,
like that.
Absolutely.
Or if you see a vehicle in your yard and you didn't actually give them permission, you could say, hey, listen, I see this vehicle in my yard. I actually don't have a problem with them getting coconuts. I have a problem with them not getting permission, mm-hmm. right? So, but having an association doesn't cure all ills.
But like it creates pathways.
Right, and it there's now a relationship. I can go to the association and say, hey, I get about 12 trees across my property and like on the outer boundaries. Could you all come and clean the trees regularly.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's part of also the work. I mean, we're part of our core programming and the way that we work is it as capacity building or supporters for local organizations, particularly the nonprofit and civil society space. And to be clear, associations are nonprofits, mm-hmm. right? They fall under a nonprofit identity. And so thinking about that relationship and the ways in which we can build capacity for organizations that already exist, mm-hmm. but also start creating the pathways where people can see that, like, oh, that's a thing that can happen. And then the ways we can formalize certain procedures and policies that allow for the improvement of the way things are done, right? Mm-hmm. Similarly, for existing organizations, like not say associations, but service organizations, any of those things, you know, there's capacity building needs there, especially through Map for Good. You know, we're building this public, free, accessible directory and interactive map. But there's also the component of getting to better understand what types of work is happening and ways in which these organizations are made up. Like we kind of knew this anecdotally, but by getting to know who's out there, we're getting a better picture of the sector. What are we like as a sector? What, you know, small, like, what are the sort of
where do the resources, internal or externally derived resources, where do they tend to flow? At what time of the year, right? Are more resources?
Well, we're not starting there, but we'd like to get there because we want to cultivate trust, because especially the sector isn't used to necessarily being asked questions, and we're just all focused on what we're doing. And we've also done work on public trust, and things are a little like, why, you know? And I think as we're demonstrating the value, mm-hmm. Again, org is leading this initiative, but it's for us as a sector, really. You know, but we want to start with the basics. And what we knew anecdotally, but what we're learning is most of the sector is really small, mm-hmm. and largely informal. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of organizations are just a couple volunteers, very limited funding streams, often coming out of their own pocket.
Yeah.
But what we know is there are resources available actually out there. Mm-hmm. We have funders and donors, local and international, that are seeking this platform and want the list and want to know who's out there. But what we're also hearing from them is some of their challenges is even when they hear from organizations or they find organizations that are doing the type of programming that they want to support, those organizations don't often have some of the internal governance frameworks that are needed.
They don't have the capacity to engage at the level of the funder.
Right. And so we're trying to create a pathway that organizations, meeting them where they're at, right? We don't expect a two-person volunteer-led organization to have a, you know, 40-page strategic plan and a complex monitoring mm-hmm. evaluation framework. But you can have a basic one-pager. You can have mm-hmm. simple, and we're creating free tools and resources to help facilitate that.
Vanessa, I gotta take a government praise break.
Okay.
You know what that is? That's when you take a moment to praise the government, right? Okay. So Civil Society Bahamas and NOAB. NOAB may not be functional at the moment. Mm-hmm. NOAB is the National Organizations of Women's Associations in the Bahamas, right? And what NOAB in particular did or does for these same small organizations, three people, 10 volunteers, if you're having an event, who don't necessarily have the capacity to achieve ECHO SOC accreditation,
yep.
which is the accreditation that agencies need to participate in UN-level discussions, by virtue of your membership in NOAB, mm-hmm. right? You can acquire ECHO SOC accreditation for the purpose of participating in specific UN spaces.
Absolutely. There's a lot of examples like that. Mm-hmm. And what we're also seeing is a lot of foundations and grantors, they want co-submissions for grants, you know, when, mm-hmm. and proposals. Or if it's not a full co-development, mm-hmm. at least you're a lead organization, the larger organization has the capacity, has the certain things in place, but then can bring in and partner with some of the smaller organizations mm-hmm. and then serve as like a financial sponsor, which helps facilitate their work. There's so many avenues and potentials of the ways in which this lends itself to addressed and support organizations. And at the core, that's really what Map for Good is about.
Yeah. All right. And so to complete our praise break, right? Those two organizations were initiated by the government, right? It assists the government to show the broader world, the global community, that we are facilitating these organizations in building capacity, right? Because there's the tripartite in the sort of professionals, the government, the business sector, and like mostly the unions, right? There's another sort of tripartite, which is the government, the opposition, and civil society.
Yeah.
Right? And government, opposition, and civil society work together, right, to support policy initiatives, right? So it's not about necessarily supporting government. We're not asking for political affiliation.
No. Mm-hmm.
So you support policy initiatives, right, by providing programming that aligns with the policy, or by providing a advocacy service which lobbies in a way that exposes, right, challenges and then highlights the needs of that organization's specific constituents. And so it's not a three-man fight. It's not a WWE.
But
there's a tension that mm-hmm. helps to keep everybody on track.
Absolutely. And that's a key component. And actually already we're in the it's also a network, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's meant to knowledge share and things. So we don't have the full map and directly published. That's going to be out soon. But interimly, there's that other relationship. There's the advocacy component, but there's also a core part of good governance is consultation,
mm-hmm.
right, with the public, but also civil society, the people working on the front lines of these issues. And that's mm-hmm. a big part of our advocacy as a good governance organization, right? And there, that happens with government, that happens with private sector, that happens with regional organizations, multilaterals. So one, that needs to be improved, and we're working on that. But also, again, creating a system where people can come together and position their advocacy a little bit better is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But also, again, there's been, in when the existing opportunities, for example, we've been able to increase participation in a few examples. I can say there was a national consultation led by the Organization of American States to feed into the Summit of the Americas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Held in Nassau. There wasn't a virtual component. We spoke to...
Hold on, what year was this?
This is the end of last year. So, but I have some more examples. But then there were not that many organizations represented in the room, because sometimes getting the word out, and that's why organizations like OAS, IDB, they want access to our list, because they want to engage better. But because I knew it was coming up, I could reach out to the existing network and ask them, and based on the themes and the framework of the consultation, put together an effective survey, get their feedback, and bring that into the room,
mm-hmm.
and work to ensure that that was put into the recommendation document that came out of that consultation. Similarly, we've actually been consulted by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs ahead of the CARICOM Heads of Agreement with wanting civil society perspectives on mm-hmm. on things, and other opportunities like that. And so already that's positioning itself to, you know, improve that space of engagement and including those folks in decision-making spaces.
And that space could be so complex and so exciting, right? Like, as an advocate, a word to other advocates, right? Like, you may be in an advocacy space where you are aggressively lobbying the government to amend or change policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you've been at it for decades, like the women who've been advocating for the gender violence bill and got a Protection Against Violence Act, right? So you may be mad at the government. I don't like them. I don't like what they're doing. I don't want to do anything to make them look good, right? However, in this space, right, our government needs to be able to say to a UN space, mm-hmm. hey, we are aware of the issues that are going on in the country. We are aware of the agencies that exist that are working on those issues. And so the government's acknowledgement of the sector is that it can be an endorsement to funders.
Yeah.
Right? To say, hey, listen, the government say they got 300 of these organizations. Let's see what we can identify as viable sources or viable entities that we can direct sources through or to, right? So you may be mad at the government, but this the relationship that you're trying to form with the government will make them look good, but it will also be beneficial to you, right?
Yeah, there's way, and we talk about, that's also part of capacity building, right? Like learning the ways to navigate the sector and the regional global landscape of accessing the way multilaterals and governments work. All of that stuff is part of building your own capacity of how you navigate, and ultimately the goal of any nonprofit is to achieve its mission, right? So, but where we have challenging issues, but how do we create the opportunities to work towards that and increase our impact?
Now, Org itself is an NGO, right?
Yep.
And Org itself is working towards its mission.
Yep.
And we've taken a step forward, a significant step forward in the formation of the Map for Good. Let me take this call, and then we're going to talk about this new exciting step in Project Map for Good Bahamas. Let's go to the phone line. Good caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
Hi, good. Thank you. How you do? You there? I bet you a raccoon cut your line, Foxhill. I bet it was a raccoon. Let me tell you something. They're raccoons. I heard y'all organizing in the Dilly Tree last night.
Mm.
I saw that piece of paper on the ground that say Barack Obama. Let me just say, friend agent, and you need to register him with the government before y'all could get him to join your NGO. That is just unfair. There's nothing I could do against Barack Obama. It's just madness. But even the raccoons could be organizing.
Right. On their back. They need to sign up.
In fact, I have a feeling like Bach going to add them, right? Like the Humane Society going to add them to the list of constituents that they advocate for in a hot minute. In a hot minute. That's my Dilly Tree. Okay, so let's see. We're just waking on the phone line, caller. Give me a second. I'll come into you in a moment. There was an MOU.
Mm-hmm.
Map for Good has a new partner.
Yes, this is so exciting, and creates a lot of really great opportunities. So we were able to forge a partnership with a local tech firm called Novio Group.
Okay.
And they are providing a significant amount of resources to help build a completely custom platform for Map for Good. So originally we were limited in budget and what the first phase was probably going to look like in terms of the map and the directory. And of course, there's this vision of like certain bells and whistles and resource pages and, you know, customized badges on your profile, the way you can maintain your O profile. That wasn't something that we thought we could do this year, right? Or by the end of this year. But now we can, because we're not going to have to use a pre-existing program that we're uploading the data to. Novio is working closely with us to design a really great platform that is really responsive to the public as well as the sector and allows us to continue to grow it and customize it, right? It doesn't have to stay stagnant.
All right. Remind us of the actors, the different types of actors we can find on the map.
Sure. So there's a wide range of actors. So nonprofit organizations can include, obviously, the traditional kind of top of mind type of organizations, your feeding groups, your youth groups, things like that. But it also includes associations and, a wide range of different types of groups, including faith-based organizations, which are your churches and mosques and, other types of worship. So, you know, nonprofits, you know, work on everything. You've got culture groups, art groups, you've got professional development groups. And direct service, women's rights, men's support groups, there's a mentor, great.
Does the local NPO, nonprofit organization space, recognize for-purpose organizations, right? So there's a nonprofit and then they're for-profit, right? So you register under business regulations or under NPO regulations. But for-purpose organizations are organizations that run programs that do generate a profit, but the profit is the intention is for the profit to be returned to the program or to support the organization. So not necessarily for business, but to support the stipends or the salaries of the limited staff right. in the organization.
Yeah. Well, I can say there's kind of a nuanced answer to that in the sense that we, Map for Good, would certainly include them in okay. the in this, right? The MPO Act in and of itself, there's a bit more work, I think, that needs to be done in there and clarity. And that's part of also some of the work that we're doing by learning from nonprofits about some of even just the challenges and some of the ambiguities about the act. There's, you know, some confusion. Sometimes we're having a hard time getting a straight answer of like, you know, obviously organizations before, nonprofit organizations before the MPO Act had, were supposed to register under the Companies Act.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's people that are registered under both. And then it creates this extra layer of bureaucracy, but they can't, we're struggling to get a clear answer of like, do we have to? Because then we talk to one entity that says, no, you actually need that to do this thing. And so there's a bit of gray areas there that we're working to clarify the compliance and reporting structures, right? So we're cultivating a relationship with the compliance unit to make sure that we are also educating folks about what they're supposed to be doing to remain in legal compliance as well, right? And a lot of that is also to protect themselves, right? It's mm-hmm. not cumbersome.
Yeah. I mean, it may seem so at first, but it's not
yeah.
actually cumbersome.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone line.
Great.
And then we're going to... Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds.
Good morning. Give me 60 seconds.
I can't give you 60 seconds. The music playing.
Okay, Miss Green. We're talking about the trees and everything.
No, we ain't talking about the trees. We were just using the Coconut Boys as an example of what could potentially be a nonprofit organization. Sorry about that. Yeah, I had another texter here that asked my guest if she could talk more about coniferous trees in the Bahamas. I tell you what, tomorrow we have a natural corner. We have a natural corner. I had already started doing some research. Tomorrow we're talking about snacks for school from the natural world, but I can try do some research on coniferous trees. That's a fancy tree. I didn't even meet no coniferous tree. That's fancy. Anyway, we go into a break. When we get back from the break, contact information. How can you find the map? How can you get your organization on the board? Pun intended. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson Pen. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the call go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Headed to South Florida soon? Holiday Inn Express in Plantation welcomes you to the heartbeat of Florida fun. Whether it's business or pleasure, the Holiday Inn Express is close to sensational shopping, captivating dining, and nightlife. Elevate your Florida experience. Sleep well and rest easy at Holiday Inn Express. Complimentary breakfast buffet featuring seasonal favorites. Keep up your fitness routine in our 24-hour on-site fitness center with cardio equipment and free weights, or take a refreshing swim in our outdoor pool. Your special Bahamas tourist rate awaits. Holiday Inn Express, 1701 North University Drive, in Plantation. Book your getaway now. Call directly at 954-472-5600 or the sales department for reservations and additional information.
Orthopedics, where movement becomes medicine and treatments become triumphs. At Cleveland Clinic, it's more than just repairing what's broken. It's how we put ourselves back together to reconstruct, rehabilitate, and restore the things that give us life. The future of orthopedics is already in motion. For every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic.
Back to school is almost here. Guardian Media Group is helping you get ready with the Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 21st from 11 to 3 at the Guardian Media Grounds on Carter Street, Oaks Field. Bring the family for an afternoon of fun, surprises, and all the school supplies your kids need for back to school, like books, pencils, school bags, and everything needed to start the school year off right. It's the Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 21st from 11 to 3 at the Guardian Media Grounds. Guardian Media Group, informing, entertaining, and giving back to the people of the Bahamas.
You try to rap with the best for all your printing needs. There ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I also got a text here that says, in reference to the Coconut Collectors Association conversation that we were having, right? It is from a company that is a sponsor of many giveaways on Guardian platform, Depre Bahamas International, and they say, listen, we are still using the fronds of coconut trees for bags, and it's one of the more durable materials, they say, more durable than silver top, which is our traditional straw product, which is amazing, yeah. Right? Like, so just a quick question. Do we have an association, not of straw vendors, but of straw crafters? Like, is there an association of natural or local organic crafters?
So I haven't come across something that narrow and specific.
Niche, yeah.
But there have been some groups that, or a group that I've been trying to reach. And again, it's sometimes one of those things is like, are you still in existence? You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of that, right? And that's why, one, we need organizations to reach out to us, but also the public. If you know of an organization, let us know. And that sort of, one I've been trying to reach, and forgive me, I don't know for sure the correct name because I've seen a couple versions, sounds like it would encompass that.
Yeah.
Right? And again, that's a great example. There are people actually still doing this, but if we don't know.
Right.
Right? And that's part of what bringing visibility to the sector, but also that concept can be expanded. Visibility is powerful. Mm-hmm. It's not just about organizations getting recognition. It's about the opportunities that arise from that knowing and that visibility, right? Mm-hmm. Also, visibility cultivates trust. There's recent research that's showing just by people being able to see what you're doing and understand what you're doing, it directly builds trust. And guess mm-hmm. what? When you have more trust, you're going to get more support, mm-hmm. right? Whether that's financial, human, capital, you know. And also it makes it harder for decision makers to ignore you, mm-hmm. right? So there's a plethora of examples of the benefit of being visible. But that to that point exactly, right? If we have the Coconut Collectors Association, right? And then you have this private entity that can then reach out and say, hey, how can we work together, right? Yeah. It creates a platform and a framework and all these pathways to opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Because great example. I was going to use the Older Persons Rights Protection and Care Bill as an example, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a great example because now I can say to a member of the association, listen, I will provide the trailer. So when you go and cut the coconuts, mm-hmm. you cut the fronds, but you don't pile the coconuts up on the fronds because I need the fronds to be in pristine condition. So I will provide the trailer for you to load up. Mm-hmm. And drop off at my spot. but more importantly, to keep the coconuts separate from the fronds, right? So that I could get my fronds from you. I'm paying, right? But hopefully by providing the trailer, I get a discount, right?
Yeah, there's a mutually beneficent relationship there.
Where's the welders association? Where's the we is tack things together with metal association, right? I know there's plenty of y'all out there. Hey, you know what I need in my life? I need a bush welder.
I actually need a bush welder right now.
Forget a bush mechanic. I need a bush welder, right? Yeah. But is there an association? Because then I would tell the Arts and Crafts Association, look here, y'all get to the Bush Welders Association and show them what are the things that you need, the types of equipment you need them to build for the people who collect the goods, because you got to talk to them as well, right? So then the welder goes to the Coconut Collectors Association and says, hey, the crafters say this is what they want. What types of using? What can I build that can easily attach to the type of vehicle that you're using? What do you need to make it easy to collect the things that these people are going to pay you for, right? And then we get some synchronicity.
Absolutely.
We get some harmony, not unity, harmony, where people, different things can sync up together and move at the same frequency for the purpose of that project.
Yeah. Remove the barriers.
There you go.
Create the pathways.
All right. Here's a... is there a reason why there isn't community gardens in every settlement in the Bahamas? There are reasons. There are some barriers, right? But I tell you what, the biggest reason why there isn't an island community garden in every settlement in the Bahamas is because we don't have an island community garden association that can coordinate, right? Stakeholders, people who are interested, because there are people who are interested on every island and every settlement. I say congratulations to all of the family island districts that held full, vibrant Independence Day activities and schedules. Best yard, best community space, best home, best garden. These were all prizes up for grabs across settlements and constituencies in the archipelago. So thank you for the text, Texter. The reason is because we don't have a community garden, an island community garden association. And perhaps that's what you could start doing, and then let the people who you talk to know when you set up, when we formalize this, we're also going to add you to Map for Good. So other people could see that you exist. They could reach out to you if they want to duplicate what it is you're doing in their community.
Yeah, and vice versa, you then being able to see who you can start reaching out to. Because even sometimes it doesn't have to be this obvious alignment, right? Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't have to be, say, that same example, another organization working on gardens or anything agricultural. But if they are community leaders, if they're doing community work, if they, even if it's a nonprofit in a underserved neighborhood and they have a yard, you know, maybe you could start a garden there. There's I think a lot of potential that can come out of it. And I think also sometimes we don't even, I think sometimes when you can't see things, it's harder for you to imagine what the potential things could be. So when you start getting a picture of who's out there and you're like, oh, they're doing that, and I could see how that can lend itself to this other thing. So I think it illuminates potential opportunities on top of the already ongoing, on the ground, the things that exist, and building that access and improving the relationships across the sector. Because to your point, it is relationship building. It is making those connections. It's about creating that synchronicity. You know, nobody can do everything by themselves, right?
So, because that's not what resilience is.
No.
Resilience isn't the ability to do it all by yourself.
Absolutely.
Resilience
not.
Is the ability to identify the resources that you need and the capacity to create that relationship and access those resources.
Absolutely. And that's actually something we've talked about as Map for Good is working to build resilience, right? And that means, to the point you just said, but also if we're working better together, we're coordinating better, and you have times of crisis, you also are more likely to be resilient in those spaces.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good
Ms. Green, can I call in about the community gardens and so we're talking about?
No, because it's only an example that we're using to highlight the efficacy, the purpose, and the value of the Map for Good project.
I agree.
But we can call in tomorrow. What I'm telling you is we have a natural corner tomorrow. Call in tomorrow, and I will incorporate that this today's aspect into tomorrow's conversation. Thank you. Thank you very much. Ms. Sparky, you can't hear me trying to push my guests out the room so I could get a little... I can't use the word salacious because I'm not going that far. So I could talk little headlines, man. But even I am having difficulty letting go of this conversation, right? Because I also want to bring into the landscape, right? I've been trying to have a conversation only about the boards and committees lists for 2026 and 2027 to highlight the value of the list, right? Mm-hmm. And a part of it is why we must demand the attention to compiling the list and the composition of the list. But more importantly, so people can see that the list is also a tool. As an advocate, like my personal, as an advocate, I am using Map for Good and the boards and committees list to create strategies, right? And to create potential policies for my organizations, right? So does a board exist for the issue or the sector that I am advocating in? Now that I know that a board exists, I'm going to do research on the board. What is the scope of the act that mm-hmm. that empowers the board, right? And then what is the scope of the board's authority? And how can I engage the board and any other mechanisms under the purview of the board or that the board has oversight for, right? I should be able to identify a contact information for the board and call them and directly and say, hey, we're a new organization. This is the specific issue that we are advocating about. Can you identify the actors and the elements in this space? Can you direct us to a copy of the act that empowers the board and the space, right? That governs how we operate in the space. Can you connect me to any information about the actors in the space, right? And so that's a show that I've been trying to have, but sometimes I'd be boring, right? Sometimes I'd be boring. I would talk about these things.
No, but it's to your point. It's really valuable and really important because there are resources, but there are also, we know they're limited. We're also humans with lots of mm-hmm. other stuff, so our human capacity can be limited. So if we're really trying to do something meaningful and we have the passion and we're putting everything we can into it, we also don't want to duplicate effort. Like, right. You know, if there is a thing that's been working, let me learn from that thing that's working and see how I can apply it to the situation.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't need to keep recreating things if they're successful. Or there can be practices that is in a different space that you can then take and apply into your space.
Mm-hmm.
There, again, I think there's so many things that having a platform like this creates the opportunity for.
Absolutely.
Right? But we have to build the foundation, who, what, and where,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's really the core of where we're starting, but we're already seeing the ways that that's playing out to support organizations and the public.
Absolutely. And so in the last few moments, Ms. Bethel, I wanted to talk headlines, and my intention was sort of to connect the headlines to our conversation after our conversation was done. But if you don't mind, I'm just going to walk through some of the headlines and identify why I think these headlines are a part of our conversation,
sure.
right? Like I'm looking at, you don't respond to the headline, right? Public Accounts Committee update. So this was an update posted by the leader of the opposition, Michael Pintard, sort of in his capacity, I think, as chairman of the PAC, giving us an update on their work, right? There are NGOs and NPOs in other jurisdictions that focus on sort of monitoring and documenting the work of agencies or entities like a public accounts committee, right? They get the minutes of every meeting, anything that is available to the public, they get access to that, they assess it, they collate it, they pull out the parts they think that they're important, they make a statement or they write a concluding brief on what it is, on the work that was completed so far by the PAC. They make that available to the public. They invite questions from the public to help the organization frame the questions and conversations they're going to have in the public domain about the work of the PAC. Another example, three headlines yesterday that just had Guardian. Y'all know Guardian have a digital footprint, right? On Facebook, Instagram, they're on TikTok. We everywhere on Celindon Pinland's internet, right? But these three headlines from yesterday, Show Me the Money, Bahamas Electrical Workers Union article, Whipping Boys, Bahamas Electrical Workers Union article, The New Animal Farm, right? So these three high incendiary headlines, exciting news. Do we have a private, like an NGO that advocates for consumers, for the protection of consumers in this utility space, right? It provides programming, right, that assesses what other companies are doing in other jurisdictions, brings it to the public. They may even, the NGO may run a journal and invite the country's leading electrical engineers and technocrats and technicians in the electrical space to submit articles and reviews and papers and research, right? So that we can identify what, you know, we are aware of what's happening in the country. We know what the talent is, right? Like, there are so many opportunities for people to engage an issue or a conversation through the NGO space. And I guess the most important one is the Older Persons Rights Protection and Care Bill that's been in the news for the last few weeks, right? Are there any NGOs that specifically focus on elder care, elder rights, geriatric rights, right? Is there any agency that's been doing any specific NGO, not agency, that can contribute, that has been invited to consult, right, to contribute to the consultation process? This bill is out for consultation right now, and I think the timeline is very short. Let me just stick a pin. This has nothing to do with org. The timeline is short. This is not enough time. I think the deadline is August 20th for consultation on the Older Persons Bill. And let me just say, this is not a government praise break. This is an old people row break. That's not enough time.
No.
That's not enough time for older members of society to organize themselves as a group. You know why? Because as they get older, they get cut off from their networks because they lose in their autonomy because of the loss of mobility in certain areas, right? And agency in certain areas. And so, in particular, this constituent, this group of people, they need advocates. They need people to organize on their behalf to ensure not just that their rights are being protected, but that their voices are being heard and considered in the composition of laws, right? In the creation of laws that center them. If the law centers them, then their consultation should be centered also in the process. And for the young people, right? You may not be centered, even though you may be the center of their care program, pun intended. But this is a perfect example of why NGOs are important and why MAP for Good is valuable. So someone who wants to, as quickly as possible, create an organization to jump on board the consultation process that ends August 20th, they could quickly identify the other actors in the landscape that are doing similar work, right? Like the Nurses Association in particular. And they could get the ball moving and create a strategy to gather as many voices as possible for this consultation process. Ms. Bethel, thank you. Org, thank you for sending Vanessa Bethel, Map for Good Project Coordinator, to us today. We're going to continue this conversation. And tomorrow, snacks for school from the natural world. It show you all how to make a fruit cup, them things you buy in the store, how to make a fruit cup right from your backyard. You guys, stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM because the one and only C.A. Nuri and Guardian Radio AM up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.